scripture comes from John chapter 9, verse 1 to 41. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Rabbi," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or the sins of his parents?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned by us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came back, seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same one." They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. They then took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them, "He put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man who has healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. So they called in his parents. They asked them, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? And if so, how can he now see?" His parents replied, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He is old enough. Ask him." So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner." "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this. I was blind and now can see." "But what did he do?" they asked. "How did he heal you?" "Look," the man exclaimed, "I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they cursed him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from." "Why, that's very strange," the man replied. "He healed my eyes. And yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it." "You were born a total sinner," they answered. "Are you trying to teach us?" And they threw him out of the synagogue.
When Jesus heard what happened, he found the man and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, say? I want to believe in him." "You have seen him," said Jesus, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshipped Jesus. Jesus told him, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind." Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, "Are you saying we are blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim to see. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The greatest of all healing miracles was the giving of sight to the blind eyes. The miracle of giving sight was reserved as a testimony for the true nature of Jesus, for the true purpose of Jesus, and the position of Jesus. Remember that when John was in prison, he sent his followers to question Jesus if he was the true Messiah, if Jesus was the one they had been waiting for, if Jesus was really the Lamb of God. And you remember that the answer from Jesus, the words from the mouth of Jesus were, the blind can see. In other words, the blind receive sight. See for yourself, John. And that answer confirmed that Jesus was the Son of God with a divine purpose, with a divine plan, with a divine nature. And that purpose was to bring life. It was to bring light to God's people. What was this man's affliction? What was the greatness of his affliction? What did it look like? The blind man in chapter 9, they say he was blind from birth. Never had his eyes operating, seeing the way we do. And his blindness, it deprived him from an important means of knowledge. I have heard that a blind person may acquire a word. A blind person may acquire knowledge from different people and even knowledge of men and women. A blind person can acquire knowledge of many things. But a blind person is powerless to form any corresponding mental picture. A blind person can hear and understand almost everything, but when it coming to corresponding, having a form of corresponding mental picture, they aren't able to do that. And so blindness, it denied this man a source of enjoyment, a grand source of enjoyment. It denied him many opportunities. The eye is a channel of some of our purest pleasures, and he did not have eyes to see. So the blind did not know when it comes to the beauties of art, the beauties of architecture, the beauties of nature, the beauties of literature. He did not know a thing about that. And it was worse for the spiritually blind people because of their spiritually blindness, they were dead to the perceptions of the love of God, of the love of men, of the love of Jesus, of the love of the Father. Blindness unfitted this man for the discharge of any life duties. He couldn't. Instead of being able to care for himself and care for other people, he fully relied on other people to care for him. He was afflicted. And now in the passage, he's standing at the gate of the temple. Imagine his features. His features are familiar to those of the worshippers. He looks like other worshippers, but he has never seen the service within. He has never seen the service and the beauty without all his life. And here in the story, he is beneath Jesus' gaze. Jesus is looking at him, but he is unconscious who the man looking at him is. That was the greatness of his affliction.
In the last 10 years, I've realized what a wretch I have been, and I have gone from having Pharisee tendencies to being a Martha to trying really hard to be a Mary. So the question is, how does one succeed in works of righteousness? Studying scripture, praying regularly, living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if our minds are blinded by unbelief, We can never truly fulfill these responsibilities. The only way is to allow God's light of renewing grace within. Paul says to the Ephesians, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light." And I say again, it's not in darkness, but it's you were once darkness, but now you are light. Everything exposed by light becomes visible. So how was this man cured? How could he go from being blind to now seeing? How did these righteous works become visible to him? It was only through divine power. The clay and psyllium were only an outward sign of Christ's healing. For neither priestly invocations nor clay-cold creeds can make the blind see. When outward appearances are more important than our spiritual health, it is the same reason that Pharisees remained spiritually blind. It was God's divine and amazing grace that cured the blind man. It is God who sees what people do not. God saw in David what King Samuel did not. God sees in us what others do not. God sees and cures our physical and spiritual blindness. In the scripture, the disciples were concerned about the reason for this man's blindness. Was it for his parents' sins, his own sins? And Jesus responded, saying no. He saw an opportunity to reveal God's divine work.
And so after this man's eyes were opened by Jesus, how did he respond to that? How did the community know that, yay, this was a blind man and now he can see? What was his response to the whole experience? It is interesting how the blind man, after having his eyes opened, does not attempt to explain the manner of his cure. He doesn't go out to say, this is what happened, 1, 2, and 3. He is not concerned with the explanation of how things happened. He also doesn't allow himself to be shaken by the rejection and the objection of the Pharisees to Jesus. But he keeps to one thing he knows. I was blind, but now I see. He just keeps to one thing. This is the only testimony he gives. This is the only thing he says to people. I was blind, but now I see. What a valuable and experimental evidence. It was a clear evidence, experimental, something he had gone through. What an experience. His testimony was sustained by a visible proof. He did not have to say much because the proof of the works of God was there. His experience was sustained by a great change and unwavering boldness. He was bold in his testimony. I was blind, but now I see. He witnessed for Jesus when convenience and custom will counsel silence. People will expect him not to say a word, even what we call the messianic secret, where Jesus many times will say to people, don't share, don't say. This guy goes out boldly and say, I was blind, but now I see. He did that with courage. He embraced the adventure of discipleship. Isn't the season of Lent all about that, embracing the adventure of discipleship? He held fast to faith. Whether it was his old faith or new faith, but he held fast to faith as was not even shaken by the objection of the Pharisees. And so what does this mean? Seeing through God's eye, it allows us to see things from a new perspective. The previously blind man had to adjust to new perspective. He now sees through the eyes of Jesus. When he looks at the pain, he looks at pain through the eyes of Jesus. Those who look at the cross, they look at the cross through the eyes of Jesus, and it helps them to look with a new perspective. His soul, like Psalm 23 is said, had been restored. Jesus had restored his soul. But guess what? Even after healing, he had to work towards understanding his own healing. Now that I am healed, what does it mean? Now that I can see, what does this mean? He had to have a sense. He had to make sense of what this healing meant. And similarly, we are called to adjust to new ways of viewing the world. We are invited to adjust and see things through the eyes of Jesus. We are invited. That's the season of Lent for you. It invites us to give ourselves over to the journey with Jesus, where you and I can say, I was blind, but now I see. I understand that so many of us are church members because we grew up going to church with our parents, with grandparents. But the need to come in the life of a Christian, a time where I say, where you say, I have been blind, but now I see. The season of Lent then opens that opportunities of receiving grace, of giving to Jesus. And then you are able to say, I have been blind for the past 30 years, but now I can see. And so what darkness needs light in your life? What darkness needs light in your life? How can the light of Jesus shine on your darkness and transform it? Do you have any darkness in your life that needs the light of Christ? Now allow the light of Christ to shine on that darkness and transform it.